So again, the title of today's sermon is The Passion of the Christ, part 2. Ephesians 5, are you there? We're looking at verse 15. No, Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16. What? Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. Three verses. Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 17. King James, New King James, New Living. Yes. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17.
See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Amen. Yes, thank you, sir. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. Yes, New King James and New Living. Anybody have New King James, New Living, New Living? Ephesians 5, 15 to 17.
So be careful how you live.
So be careful. Someone say careful.
Careful.
God wants you to be what?
Careful.
He doesn't want you to be carefree. Huh? He wants you to be what? Careful how you live. Continue, please.
Don't live like fools.
Yeah, so when you are not being careful how you live, you are living like a fool. Continue.
But like those who are wise.
Yes, continue.
Make the most of every opportunity.
Make the most. Life is an opportunity. Before you know it, 2024 will be over. We'll be having what's night service. The first quarter is gone. Yeah? Make the most of every opportunity. Your life is being counted in days. It's what you do daily. It's your life is your routine. You change your life by changing what? Your routine. Don't procrastinate. If there's something that will change your life, it's going to change daily in what you're doing daily and weekly. Your most important routines in life are daily and what? Weekly. Hallelujah. If you change something you do daily or something you do weekly, yeah, it will result in a change in your life. Hallelujah. Continue, please.
So make the most of every opportunity in these evil days.
The days are evil. We are living in a time that is more evil than it has ever been. Yeah? Truth is difficult to find. Hallelujah. There's a lot of false doctrine and false religion. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, He said, if you continue my word, you will be my true disciples. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make, it's not even set you free. Jesus set you free. But the truth shall make you free. That is, after Jesus has set you free, for you to experience that freedom, yeah, truth needs to enter and dominate. You can be born again and still be in bondage. You can be born again and still be oppressed by the devil. It's possible. You can be born again and still be dominated by the flesh and by sin. But that's not the plan of God for your life. Hallelujah. He wants you to be free indeed. Someone say free.
Free.
Indeed. You know, people like to say, I'm free. I can do whatever I like. No. Hallelujah. If you're in Christ, you're not free to do whatever you like. You're free to do what He likes. Amen. You are free to do what? What He likes. Hallelujah. Not what you like, but what He likes. Hallelujah. He died for you so that you can live for Him. Come on, say with me. Say, Jesus Christ died for me. He gave His life for me so that I can live for Him. Okay, read verse 17, sister.
Don't act dolessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do.
Hallelujah. Let's have New King James, just verse 17 now. Ephesians 5, 17, New King James, just to repeat. New King James, Ephesians 5, 17. Yes, thank you. Listen to that.
Therefore, do not be unwise.
Therefore, do not be what? unwise. You can be. It's writing to believers. This letter is to the Ephesian church. They are believers. Believers can be what? Unwise. That's why I say, do not be unwise. Continue.
But understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen.
Amen. So God open my understanding sometime to this verse and showed me that every time I don't know, every time I don't understand, it's not even about knowing, every time I don't understand what the will of God is in any part of my life, I am being what? Unwise. To be unwise, yeah, is to operate outside the will of God. Even if the world is clapping for you, even if you are making big money, even if everybody is celebrating that you look great, you look grand, you look posh, yeah, but you are outside what God wants you to do. If I'm in a place where God doesn't want me to be, I am being unwise. It doesn't matter if anybody is celebrating me. Yeah? If I'm practicing what God doesn't want me to practice, I am being what? Unwise. To be wise is to be in the will of the Father. Part time. And to be wise is also that when I've walked out of the will of God, I realign myself back. You see, the worst thing is bad enough to be outside the will of God. But I'm telling you, it's worse not to realign yourself. The more foolish person is the person who realized that they're outside God's will and did nothing. Yeah? They made no move to get back on track. That's the really foolish person. And actually, they deserve to be called foolish. I'm not saying you should go back and say do that. Amen? Hallelujah? Get back on track. Please turn to someone, smile at them. Say, get back on track. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Never celebrate spiritual mediocrity. Yeah? To celebrate spiritual mediocrity is foolishness. Get back what? On track. The will of God. And continue to pursue the will of God. You will miss it because you're in the flesh. But when you miss it, what do? Get back on track. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are running the heavenly race. Hallelujah. And we want to run well and finish strong. Say, I choose. Say, I don't know about you. Because I'm not living inside you. But I'm living inside me. So I choose to run well and finish strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's wisdom. That's what? That's wisdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's change gear. Actually, before that, 1 Peter 2. Let's remind you about the passion of the Christ. So let me just amplify some of what I was saying last week. 1 Peter chapter 2. Because I do realize that some of you were not here last week. So let me just repeat a little bit of what we shared last week. 1 Peter 2, 21 to 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 to 25. And here we are reviewing the passion of the Christ. And so, by the way, if you don't understand the word passion in that tense, yeah, if I can make it more clearly, is the suffering. The passion of the Christ is what? Is the passion of suffering. Of the car is the suffering. It was a sacrifice. Yeah? Of the car. Or the endurance. Or the perseverance of the Christ. Yes? Go for it. 1 Peter 2, 21 to 25.
For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us.
Christ suffered for us. Continue.
Leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. You know, King James called that the bishop. New King James called it the overseer. And New Living calls it the guardian of your soul. What does ESV call it? Overseer. Now, the point we were making last week, which we would like to repeat, is that he did not commit any sin. Did you read that? There was no deceit in his mouth. He did nothing worthy of death. He did nothing worthy of suffering. He did nothing worthy of shame. He did nothing worthy of rejection. You know, he suffered. You see, every wound, someone say wound. Every wound you feel that you have gone through as a human being, Jesus suffered it at the cross. If you feel that your wound is rejection, Jesus was what? Rejected. If you see that your wound is humiliation, Jesus was what? Humiliated. If you see that your wound is being abandoned, all his disciples abandoned, at least one of the 12, apart from one, John, at the cross. You know, I was saying last week that even the suffering of Jesus was so intense that the climax of it is that the Father forsook him. It's because one of the last statements on the cross is that, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Which is like, do you know what language is that? I don't know. But I know that when Jesus is speaking a language and it has to be written that way, he's talking deeply. Amen? And it means, my Father, my God, he couldn't call him Father. So the Bible scholar says that's one of the only times that you see Jesus calling God, God. Because he always talk about my Father. But at this point, he's what? My God. You know, like people in the world today say, oh my God. Yeah. They say, oh my God, to a God they don't believe in. Yeah. Say, my God, why have you what? Forsaken me? So Jesus, who committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. Yeah. No pride, no lust. Yeah. No covetousness. No sin. Yet, he took up all the wounds. He suffered physically. Yeah. His body was what? Destroyed. I mean, like, when you see that body, there's no beauty. You like, read Isaiah, because it's there. He said, when we see, we turn our faces. We can't look at it. Yeah? It was messed up. There was no beauty. Now we should what? Desire him. Yeah? For no wrong he did. He suffered emotional pain. He was wounded, not just physically, but also emotionally. They spat on him, and he was bound. He could not wipe his face. Yeah? They hit him. They took a crown of thorns and drove it into his head. Yeah? They mocked him. They mocked him, even the soldiers. You know, it's not only Jews that crucified Jesus, it was Jews and Gentiles. Who actually crucified Jesus? Was it Jews or Gentiles? Let me take some answers. Who crucified Jesus? Jew or Gentile? By the way, Gentile means a non-Jew. For example, I'm a Gentile. Any non-Jew is what? A Gentile. So who crucified Jesus? Jew or Gentile? Any answer? One answer. Give me one answer. Who crucified Jesus? Jew or Gentile?
Gentile.
Gentile? Yes. I'm coming back to you if I need to. Who disagrees? Who believes that it's Jew? Okay. Okay. One answer. Anybody say Jew? Jew. Yes?
Yes, the Jew.
Okay, now, and final answer there. Then we'll come back to you. Final answer, we crucify Jesus, Jew or Gentile?
I think it was everyone.
Thank you, sir. Now let's come back to, you're all correct. Now, why did you say it was Gentile?
Because literally it was Pontius Pilate who served in the death order, and the Roman soldiers who physically killed him.
Yeah. It was the Roman soldiers who messed him up. Physically. It was Roman soldiers that tore his flesh, nailed him to the cross, yeah? Put the crown on thorns and pierced his side. Do you agree? Yeah? Okay, Jew?
Because it was the head of the Sanhedrin that ordered.
Yes, it was the Jews that said, crucify! Even Pilate said, I don't find any... Imagine, you go to court and the judge said, I don't find any... Like 3 different times. He said, this man is innocent. He said, I don't find any fault in this man. He said, you know what? Let this man go. In fact, he said, I'm going to scourge him and let him go. The judge says he's not guilty. And they said what? Crucify him. And it was the Jews that cried out. So it was the Jews. Yeah? And then finally, all. Why do you say all?
Because they all played their part?
Yes. By the way, there's one answer nobody has given me. Who crucified Jesus? There's one more answer. One more answer that has not been mentioned. Who can... Yes, sir?
Technically part of it was Judas.
Yes, Judas betrayed him. Yeah? By the way, it didn't just happen. You know that story? Judas was angry. I tell you, you need to watch your heart, yeah? The final action that led to Judas betraying Jesus is in the Bible. The Bible said that a woman came to Jesus, yeah, with a bottle of expensive wine, perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and used her hair, you know, to wipe. You see? And the Bible said that Judas Iscariot was very angry. Say, how can you waste such expensive perfume? I mean, this perfume is worth a year's wages. You get it? We could have sold this and given it to the poor. You know, why can you waste it? What a waste. And the Bible said, in the book of John, he said that he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was the treasurer who kept the purse and often took from it. He stole from the purse. Follow this story, it's in your Bible. And it was that same evening that he went. In fact, but if you read your Bible, and the Bible says the devil entered him. He's there. The devil entered him. You can open the door. Judas was not just a disciple, he was an apostle of Jesus. But when he got offended with Jesus, yeah? And he stayed in offense, what happened? The devil entered him. And he went to the chief priest and said, what will you give me if I betray? You see, it's an unforced error. They did not come to Judas and say, Judas, we will give you this if you betray. He said, what? He went there and said, what will you give me? So, you see, it was one gamble too many. Just like you. When you are not having, I tell you something, your relationship with God, you have to practice the truth. You have to be true. To be faithful, you need to be true. If you are not true, you cannot be faithful. When you are practicing deceit, we are trying to be smart. Yeah? We are gambling with your relationship with God. You are playing it hard and fast. Yeah? You are not true. There's no truth in you because when you are truth, you'll be straightforward. You'll be honest. Yeah? You will not be playing double-minded. So, Judas, many times before, he was playing double. Hard and fast. I guess in this case, it was also a gamble. Because Jesus, in the time past, when he tried to arrest him or catch him, he just walks away. And they don't see him. He just walks through. So Judas said, well, let me make some quick money off. Some quick bucks off these guys. But it was one gamble too much. A gamble that sealed his eternal destiny. A gamble of no return. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So yes, I'm looking for my final answer. Who killed Jesus? There's one more answer you've not mentioned. What am I going to choose? Okay, let's go for the most quiet, the person who has not spoken today. That would only be to be fair. Who killed Jesus?
Well, would it be God? Because he predetermined that he would have to be crucified that way to take people's sin.
Yes, that's a good answer. It's not my answer, but that's, I missed that. It's God. God killed Jesus. God what? For God so loved the world, who gave him to be killed? You know, from the day Jesus came to this world, he was on the way to the cross. From the very day. When John the Baptist saw, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." I don't know if you understand that. In that statement, is his destiny to die. Anytime you call Jesus the Lamb of God, what does that mean? What does that mean? He will be sacrificed. He was actually sacrificed on Passover day as a Passover lamb. So God gave him over. So yes, that's a good answer. But it's not the answer I'm looking for, but it's a good answer. Who killed Jesus? Now what am I going to do? What am I going to choose now? Okay, who has not given me an answer yet on this topic? Okay, you have, so you, that's the only two of you. Look at yourself and vote. Decide who should give you this answer. It doesn't work. They have to decide between themselves. Okay, yes, thank you, sir. I wanted to pass this. Okay, who killed Jesus?
We and I.
Yes. Did you have a different answer?
I did.
Yes, tell me.
Satan, because he sowed the seed.
Yes! Satan also killed Jesus. He was there in the Bible. He said, if the princes of this world have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He did. Finally, yeah, the biggest answer and the best answer, who killed Jesus, is me. Me. No one will say we. Who killed Jesus? I am the very one that killed Jesus. Me. And you too. It's me and my sister over there. Hallelujah. And until it becomes personal, you will never know what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Until you understand that you are the one that killed Jesus. I killed because he died because of me. He died for my sake. He died to save me. It was my sin that put him on the cross. Yes, I know. Yes. But it's God so loved the world, Father's will. He gave his only son. Yes. Why? 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 Why will he have to give him? Because there are sinners that need to be what? Saved. If there's no sinner, there's no need for the cross. Amen? Hallelujah. It's your sin, my sin, that put him on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was my wounds, emotional, physical, financial, whatever your wounds are, whatever you think has gone wrong in your life, whatever, some of your wounds are caused by others. And some of your wounds are what? Self-inflicted. Do you get it? Some of the wounds are caused by other people, not in your life. Some of your wounds are just in a broken world. Because this world is not a paradise. Yeah? Depending on when you were born, which family you were born, which part of the world you were born, you're already suffering some sufferings. Does it make sense what I'm saying? Yeah? Those are all wounds. But it was our wounds that put him on the cross. So that by his own wounds, we can be what? Healed. Hallelujah. And that healing includes salvation. Amen. He took our wounds upon himself. That's what I'm trying to say. He took our wounds. Now let me try to quote it well. First Peter. 1 Peter. chapter 2, we're still there, the same place. Verse 24. Please follow this. First Peter 2. I'm reading from 22 to 24. It says, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in turn. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore what? Our sins in his own body on the tree. Hallelujah. Let me just expand that. There's a bit of summarization there. Think about it. He's bearing, how does Jesus bear our sins in his body? Sin is spiritual. Body is physical. So what's the link? Isaiah tells us, he bore the punishment for our sins in his body. You get it? Jesus bore the punishment for our sins in his body on the tree. Hallelujah. Why? What is the end? So that we, say hi. So that we, having died to sins, might live for what? Righteous. That's the end point. The end point is that you can be set free. Hallelujah. The reason why Jesus bore it is so that you can what? You can be set free. So that we, having died to sins, should live for what? Read on your Bible. Should live for righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He bore your sins so that you can live for what? For righteousness. That's your calling. You are called to live for righteousness. And the Bible says, by whose stripes you were what? You were healed. Jesus came to heal me. Jesus did not come so that I should continue to carry my wounds. Jesus did not come to dig my wounds and make it deeper. Jesus did not come to add, what can you add to a wound to make it pepper you more? No. He did not come to add salt to my wounds to make, well, salt is not a good example because salt can be positive, yeah? Let's find something that's not positive. Sorry? He did not come to add that to my wound to make it more sore and more infected. No, he came to bring medicine to my wound, physical or emotional or financial or generational, whatever it is, he came to set me free. Hallelujah. By the stripes that wounded Jesus. Think about it. The stripes that messed up his body. Yeah? The purpose is to bring me healing. Hallelujah. Now, let me say, what's the purpose of the healing itself? The purpose of the healing is so that you can be free. Free to worship God. Free to love God. Free to serve God. Hallelujah. Free to function in righteousness. Righteousness is a beautiful thing. Sin is a nasty, terrible thing. It's not something you play up with. Let me just explain that. See, righteousness, if you understand righteousness, it is to be celebrated. You go about life, having been saved by Jesus, to commit righteousness. You should be. Hallelujah. If you are in Christ, your calling is to be committing what? Righteousness. Just be committing righteousness. He said, you having died to sin, you live for what? Righteousness. Hallelujah. Jesus died. Hallelujah. Jesus died for me so that I can live for him. Say, me say, Jesus died for me. It's personal. It's so personal. You have to own it. Some say, are you the one that killed Jesus? I say, yes. It was with me. Because until you understand that you're the one that killed Jesus, you will not live for him. You say, Why, what's your problem? Why are you so stressed up? Yeah. Are you the one that killed Jesus? Yes, it was you. Hallelujah. Say, I'm the one, the very one that killed Jesus. That's the gospel. If you didn't understand that before, you've not understood the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, let's change gear and begin. Now, the gear was about to change last week before the devil tried to stop me. I'm going to change that gear today. You know, he's a liar and he's a loser. In my life and in your life. In Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians. Are you there? Chapter 5. Verse 14. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 is a very popular verse. Who can quote it for me without looking at the Bible? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. You may get a prize. Let's allow the young one. 2 Corinthians 5, 17.
If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold,
all things
have passed away.
Behold.
Oh, behold, all things have become new.
Amen. Who can tell me? Amen. And that's a very good verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is what? A new creation. All things are what? Passed away. And all things are become new. And that's a very beautiful verse. And we quote it a lot, you know, to someone who has just come to faith, and it's good. But many times, as believers, we are guilty of quoting verses without the context. So we lose some of the meaning. Hallelujah. You see, if I just say something like, you know what, you're in Christ now, you're a new creation. I've not given them the full meal. I'm giving them the sauce. Anyone know sauce? Without the pizza. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:17 is the sauce. But you need what? What do you need to be full? You need just eating sauce. You need the pizza. Amen? The pizza of 2 Corinthians 5:17 is the 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 16. So we're going to look at the pizza. So that we can now enjoy both the pizza and the sauce. And if you don't like, anybody here doesn't like pizza, we can buy you bread. She doesn't like bread too. So what do you like? Okay, meat. Somebody, okay. You have someone like you there. We can get you meat plus sauce. Amen? But what we don't want to do is give you only sauce. Because that's the problem with the modern believers. They are just living on ice cream and sauce. You say, I'm born again. But it's just, all they ever fed them was what? Ice cream and sauce. That's why they find it very difficult to commit righteousness. Because they have not been fed, yeah, the food that produces righteousness. You have to be fed. You see, to commit righteousness, you need food. Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word. It's the word of God, yeah, resident in your soul, that empowers you to commit what? Well, to live for righteousness. It's like I cannot do otherwise. Because my innermost being will not allow me. Hallelujah. In the inward man, I desire to please God. Hello, sir? Are you with me? In my inmost being, I what? I desire to please God. Hallelujah. I will choose Him again. And again. Hallelujah. If I came back to this world By the way, there's nothing like reincarnation in Christianity. It's appointed to man to die what? Once. And after that what? The judgment. But if I was to come back, I will still do it the same way. I will still live for Jesus. There's no regret. It's my best life. Hallelujah. My best life is the life he gave me. Before he came, I had no life. It was all sin and flesh and brokenness. Pride and lust. The life of the flesh is a life of pride and what? And lust. Bible says all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what? And the pride of life. I had no life. I had no purpose. What was my purpose? To eat and to drink and to have a nice time. Yeah? Just like the animals do. Someone says, the purpose of life is to live purposefully. What's the meaning of that? That's a repetition. So the purpose of life is what? To live purposefully. Is that not the repetition, sir? There's no purpose there. To live purposefully, you need purpose, isn't it? How do you know you're living purposefully? If someone is a robber, yeah? A thief. And don't they have purpose? Their purpose is what? To steal. That's not all. John 10:10. What's the purpose of the thief? To what? Steal and what? To kill and what? You see, that's their purpose. But is that a good purpose? Amen? So when Jesus came into my life, he gave me what? Purpose. Hallelujah. Someone say, what's the purpose that Jesus gave me? Can somebody answer me? What's the purpose that Jesus gave you? Should I give you a clue? He told you what to seek. You've been too quiet. What did Jesus tell you to seek? What's the purpose that Jesus gave anyone? You know the purpose because he told you what to seek. There's only a few things that Jesus told you to seek. All those other things you are seeking. Yeah? They are all just bonus, additional. They're not the main meal. What's the main meal? Seek what?
Kingdom of God and His righteousness.
And His righteousness. That's purpose. That's what? When you are seeking the kingdom, and you are seeking the righteousness of God. You know what it means to seek the righteousness of God? That means that you have become an agent of righteousness. Anywhere you go. Yeah? God. What is righteousness? Righteousness is God. God. Expressing himself through you. That's why you cannot function in righteousness if you're not in right relationship with God. So, the beginning of righteousness is that you have a right relationship with God. But that's not the end of righteousness. It's the beginning. Yeah? Now, when you have a right relationship with God, what it does is that God begins to find expression through you in the world. When God, or Jesus, you can see that, finds expression, you become the Jesus that people will meet, because Jesus will not come back to meet them. He sends you. Amen. He lives in you. Hallelujah. So you are the Jesus. It's through you that some people will have a contact, a taste of Jesus. That is righteousness. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Let's go to it. Let's look at the meat or the pizza before the sauce. 2 Corinthians 5:14-16. Let's see how we're doing with time. Yes, we're doing fine. 2 Corinthians 5:14-16. Who is there? Who is ready? Let's have someone who has not yet spoken today, sir. 2 Corinthians 5:14-16. Please listen to this meat before the sauce.
Okay. King James Version. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead.
Listen to that. So bear with me, sir. So we are judging. This is the way he said, look, why I'm going through the passion of the Christ to bring you to 2 Corinthians 5:17 is to understand that the love of Christ, It was the love of Christ that took him to the cross. It was not his sin. There was no obligation. It was completely voluntary. Hallelujah. Yes, he went to the cross to do the will of the Father, but it was for you. It wasn't for him. It wasn't because of his own sins, or his own failures, or his own inadequacies. He was okay. He was clean. The only truly posh person is Jesus. Don't be carried away by all those poshnesses. They are all fake. They are all decoration. Hallelujah. You know decoration. You know, have you ever wondered what happens to all those balloons after the party? Where's my mic? Please, let me pass it behind you because I heard a sign. What happens to all the balloons after the party is over?
They burst from the
bin. That's decoration for you. After the party is over, what will happen? They will burst. If you don't burst them, what happens? What happens if you don't burst them? If you don't poke them?
We just float in the air.
And then what happens after time? Over time? They will sag. They will what? That's decoration. Hallelujah. But Jesus was clean. Clean, stainless. Who was Jesus? Clean and what? And stainless. Please, I want us to repeat you. How do we describe Jesus? He was what? Truly posh. Hallelujah. Pure. Hallelujah. He's the pure Lamb of God. Hallelujah. No sin. Hallelujah. No corruption. Hallelujah. No lust. No pride. No immorality. Clean and stainless. Truly, truly posh. Hallelujah. Yet he went to the cross. It was the love. Yeah? It was love that took him. And when we understand the cross, the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ constrains us. Hallelujah. When I understand what he did for me. Yeah? When I understand the depth of that love. Bible says there is no greater love than a person to lay down his life for his friends. Hallelujah. The Bible says for a good man, some may even die. But Christ, he commends his love to us. Romans chapter 5. In that while we were yet what? Sinners. You know when you're a sinner, yeah? If God wanted to give what you deserve, you deserve a dirty slap. But he did not give you. He wanted God giving you, you know, the last thing, next time you are rude, or you are stubborn, or you are what? Whatever. And he just gave you, why? But he didn't. He didn't. He didn't. Even when you were unfaithful, he didn't. Yeah? God commends his love to us. In that while we were what? Yet sinners. Christ. What? That's the love of Christ. And that love compels us. That love is our motivation. Hallelujah. That love empowers us. Hallelujah. The love drives us. Hallelujah. What the Lord drives us is to no longer live for ourselves, but for Him. You see, if you understand the love, you will no longer live for yourself. Because He gave it all up. You see, what you have to give up for Christ can never compare what Christ had to give up for you. What do you have to give up for Christ? Sorry, sir. We come back to you. What do you have to give up for Christ? We are coming back to you. Let's just explore that. Let me explain. Christ gave up his glory, his splendor, his poshness. Yeah? Everything. And exposed himself to rejection, to shame, open shame. Yeah? He was brutalized. He was bullied. Yeah? He was tortured. Yeah? What did you have to give, up for him? In order to become a son of God. In order for you to become a son of God, he gave those all up and died. What did you have to give up for Jesus? Come on, tell me. What did you bring to the table? And this is not necessarily personal. You are talking general. So what did we bring to the table? So I can be more free to say. So whatever you are saying is not personal. It's just general. Yes, what did you bring to the table? Anybody? Who is Bodino? What did you bring to the table, sir?
Indiscipline.
Indiscipline. Yes, more? More? Can we explore more? Think about something you brought to the table. For this deal.
Sin.
Sin? Yes, more. I need more. What did you bring to the table?
Selfishness.
That was your gift. Yes.
My own will.
Yes. Your will. Willfulness. Yes, more?
Doubt.
What else? What else do you bring to the table? What did you have to offer Jesus? Well, I brought sickness, disease. Yes, what else? I'm talking about the life. I'm talking about your life, the one that is so precious, that you feel you cannot lay down. What is the need that you have to offer Jesus? Yeah? At the cross. Sorry? Did I hear any other answer? Let's take one more. Pride. Yeah? Amen? Covetousness. Yeah? Your brokenness. What you brought to the cross was your brokenness. Amen? Hallelujah? You know how we know that? Because the Bible says that by his stripes we are what? So what did we bring to him? We brought him all our wounds, all our brokenness. Hallelujah? And what did his stripes do? What is his suffering do for us? He brought us healing. He brought us restoration. He brought us a new life. He brought us a new day, a new chance. Hallelujah. He brought us a new destiny, a new purpose. Yeah? He brought us another goal at life. That's the love of Christ. Okay, now let's continue. We are finishing on those verses, but I just wanted to, unpack it for you. And the purpose of this message is to energize you.
And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again.
Thank you, sir. Let me just go there. So this is the understanding. We understand, we judge it that if one died, that is Jesus, then what's the implication? What's the question that one died? If one died, what happened? Read it. If one died, then, looking at verse 15, yeah? Let me get you back there. Sorry, sir. Let's just take it over. Let's read it again, just for the benefit, because I'm going to ask that question again. So, 1 Corinthians 5. 15. From 14. Just read 14 again.
Okay.
Only 14 for now. Yes, continue.
For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead.
Yes. So, if one died, then what's the implication? You don't understand. Jesus is the light of the world. When Jesus died on the cross, you know what happened? There was darkness for 3 hours. There was an earthquake. The Jewish temple, the veil that blocked the Holy of Israel, was torn down. If not for the mercy of God, when Jesus died, everything should be over. The whole of life. Because John 1:1 says that by him all things were what? Created. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. Through him was everything created. So if the creator, then we're all dead. So the implication is that if Christ died, and I am in Christ now, I die to myself. Your personal agenda, your personal ambition, yeah? You have to lay it down at the cross. If you don't, you can't experience the fullness of what it means to be a new creation. Because you are holding on to the old creation, man. For the new to come, yeah? What happens to the old? It doesn't pass away. How does the old pass away in your life? You lay it down at the cross. Let me explain to you. Let's help you to picture it. Jesus has given his life. When you come to the cross,
you lay down your own life. I'm not saying that you physically die, but you lay down that self, your ambition, your agenda, yeah? Everything in you that wants to be in control, you lay it down and say, Jesus, yeah, you take over. Yeah? Be in charge. I defer to you. I respond to you. I yield to you. What you want for my life is what I want. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's no longer me. It's Christ. How is it Christ? I gave him permission. I gave him control. I said, Jesus, you live in me. And you live through me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's trust. That's trust. It's absolute trust that I'm saying, you know what? I give you my life for you to live through me. I am not good enough to be in control of my life. Hallelujah. Any book you read that told you that you've been in control of your life, it deceived you. Because you are imperfect. Your personal strength is not enough. Hallelujah. You need someone, something bigger than you. Hallelujah. And the biggest thing than you is the Creator himself. Hallelujah. The only person who can live your life well for you is the one who died for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He died for you. So that if one died, then we're all dead. Please continue, sir. Time is gone now, so let me hurry up.
So, 16 now, 15 again?
Yeah, 16, sir.
16. Whereof henceforth know we no man.
No, 15, sir.
15, okay. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again.
Hallelujah. So when I come to the cross, when I understand the passion of the Christ, now I understand the love. I understand the suffering. I understand what he gave up. I understand what he gave me. Yeah? In exchange for my filth. Everything I had to offer him was substandard rubbish. Yeah? When I understand that. So henceforth, I must no longer live for myself. The root of all your struggle is that you are living what? For yourself. And the devil will always take that and use it to wind you up. Yeah? When you are living for yourself, you will look around and you will envy others who have what you don't have. Because you are living for what? Yourself. You don't have any other basis of measuring your life. Yeah? When you are living for yourself, materialism will dominate you. Yeah? Because it's about you. It's not about him. When you are living for yourself, you will struggle to obey simple instructions from the Bible. Because you are thinking of what will pay you. You know, what you pay, what I want, what I truly want. You never go, what God wants, what do you mean? Like, God should want what I want. That's people, when someone is living on themselves, you never think about what God wants. You want God to want what you want. That's what it means to be selfish. To be selfish means you are living for what? Yourself. Hallelujah. And in selfishness, every sin is possible. Every wickedness is possible. Everything that people ever did wrong is because they are living for what? Themselves. Every war, you can trace it back to people living for themselves. Amen? But now, because we understand that he died, yeah? So that we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us. Hallelujah. That is the passion of the God. What it does for you. Now, verse 17, sir, finally. Therefore, please stop there. You can now see that source starts with a what? It's a therefore. Meaning that we cannot enter 17 properly without what comes before. That's why it's a therefore. When we've understood that he died. So that, and by reason, because he died, everyone who comes to him must die with him. Yeah?
And everybody who comes to him must take on his life. And no longer live for themselves. But for him who died and rose. We are now there to reproduce his life in the world. We want what he wants. We love what he loves. We hate what he hates. We are not competing with the world. We're not trying to look like the world. Hallelujah. We're not trying to look like the world. We're not trying to what? Look like the world. When you are in Christ, you have been called out of the world. The Bible says you should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You have been called to be salt and to be what? Light in the world. When a believer is trying to look like the world, they sold themselves cheap. Amen? You are supposed to be the example of righteousness that the world, yeah, will follow. The reason why the world we admire you, even though they cannot be like you unless they come to Christ, is that you carry purity. Purity is powerful. Hallelujah. You see, the world cannot achieve purity. Hallelujah. They can achieve money, but they cannot achieve what? Purity. Because you need Christ in you to make you what? Pure. Hallelujah. That's what you have that the world can never have. And you should celebrate it and guard it generously. Hallelujah. It's righteousness. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? You see, to really begin to enjoy what it means to be a new creation. Yeah? Lay it all down at the cross. Let Christ live his life through you. Hallelujah. Live for Christ. Hallelujah. Live for Christ. Live for what? Please turn to your neighbor, look at them. Tell them with a love and a smile. Say, leave. Leave. Say, leave for Christ.